You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. By Arbite Software, the best office phone system in Buffalo. And presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care.
Back here on the Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550, Sal Capaccio on a Buffalo Football Monday. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live comes your way in 1 hour. Show up in the Bulldog at 3. Sean McDermott will be along at 4 p.m. from down at the stadium, and then at 5 here on WGR. I think it might be only Bulldog today, I think. To check on that. It's the case. Either way, Sean McDermott's going to be either with him or with both the guys when they're here. So, the Bills had a couple of injuries yesterday, and we are going to find out the extent of them, or at least hope to find out the extent of them, when Sean McDermott speaks to the media at 4 p.m. today. One of those is LeSean McCoy, who left the game after the very first series with a hamstring issue, and now Ian Rappaport of NFL Media Insider reports that McCoy will have an MRI today to determine the severity of the issue. That's from Ian Rappaport. So nothing official from the team. We'll get that later on, but that is the report there. And then Matt Milano, that did not look good. His foot, his ankle, whatever the issue was, it did not look good on Matt Milano. So we're going to hope that he can maybe get through something that looked really serious a lot sooner and quicker than it otherwise appeared. And if not, if it is as bad as it looked on TV and being down there and the card having to come out, maybe you're looking at having to shut him down for the year and you'll see more young guys come in and see what they can do. Maybe Julian Stanford plays there. And I actually like Julian Stanford as a linebacker, but he's more of a special teams guy. He had to play in the New England game when Tremaine Edmonds went out, did pretty well, the Monday night game. But maybe you see something there, and then you hope, you really hope, if it is serious with Matt Milano, that it's nothing that keeps him from offseason work and especially into, you know, OTAs and stuff like that. But we'll get more of an indication from any of that today from Sean McDermott, hopefully at 4 p.m. when he speaks to the media. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We still got to get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, got to take a look at next week's opponent in our view from the sidelines. So we'll do all of that this hour. We have open phone lines. Time to take your calls. This show is about you, for you, and a chance for you to say what you need to about the Buffalo Bills. Mark in Tonawanda, you're up next on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for having me on. Sal, just to talk about LeSean McCoy. I know he got injured yesterday, but I wanted to ask you if you see him fitting in on this team next year. His production's way down this year. Do you think that's because of the offensive line? Do you think it's him? I just wanted to know your opinion on it. Thanks.
Okay, Mark. Well, here's what I think, that this team had every intention on holding on to LeSean McCoy through 2019 when they did not trade him at the trade deadline. And in fact, Brandon Bean came out and said that he plans on him being a part of the future of this team, and he's under contract next year. And I actually still believe more of that than I do that he's going to be gone. And when I say believe it, not that I think Brandon Bean was lying or that he was somehow trying to fool anybody. I think he is being sincere when he said it. I just think that now here we are almost 2 months later, a month and a half later, and LeSean McCoy's production has not only not gotten better, it may have gotten worse. And you have to start thinking about what you need to do at the position. As I sit here today, I do think that they'll make some changes on the offense, and they'll believe that LeSean McCoy can have a bounce back year in 2019. They'd like to have him on the roster, and it's not like they need to save the money. They do have $85 million or so projected in free salary cap space next year. A lot of times in these situations, you say, whoop, that guy's gone. They got to save the money. You got to get rid of him. Got to free some money on the cap. Not the case here. I mean, you'd be freeing up money. What, I think you'd be freeing up about $6 million or so if you look at the dead cap that it would cost. I have to take a look at that. But either way, he's costing $9 million on the cap, and That's actually workable right now with all the money they have with LeSean McCoy staying on the team. And as far as why his production is down, and I've said this many times, and I still believe it. Yesterday notwithstanding, yesterday was different. He had one series, came out of the game. But I believe his production's down because A, they don't have a very good run-blocking offensive line, and B, because of that, LeSean McCoy is getting frustrated and trying to do way too much and getting caught in situations where he's running backward instead of forward, getting caught in the backfield and winding up with really poor numbers on the day. I think that's the biggest reason. Those are the biggest reasons, I should say. Mark in Jersey City. Hi, Mark. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
A lot of the thunder already stolen, but the coaching staff, I think the deficiencies there were illuminated more so than anything. We already knew the special teams are bad, but being bad for two or three bad plays a game, that's horrific. That Danny Smith unit in 01 was probably the worst special teams unit I've seen, but this one trumped it yesterday.
By the way, Danny Smith is in Pittsburgh, and they are not having a very good year on special teams.
Yeah, I think he was a friends with benefits kind of benefactor with that 01 Bills team, similar to Crossman. The guy just seems like he's got a thousand lives, but I think his time is up after this year. Juan Castillo, not only is the offensive line coach, he's also the run game coordinator in title. And the last 2 years, I mean, the run game has not been that good. And this year, it's a precipitous drop. I know they did not bank on not having Wood and Incognito not be there, but it's been abysmal. And players are regressing. They're not getting better. They get no movement. They can't run a screen game. They have a young quarterback back there. I think this offensive staff needs to be streamlined across the board. Not saying the coordinator needs to stay, but as per position coaches and stuff, as well as the special teams coach.
Yeah, look, I think that Sean McDermott, as I opened up the show by saying, is going to have to take a long, hard look at a lot of areas of this team. Not only as far as players, but coaching staff as well. There's been some, you know, underperforming units, that's for sure. And as it happens every year, Mark, as you know, there are changes made on every coaching staff. Doesn't always have to be coordinators, might be assistants. Oftentimes it's both, you know, a coordinator here, maybe a couple assistants, things like that. But I do think that they've had far, far too many mistakes on special teams this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and as well as on some key areas, that the lack of a true edge rusher yesterday was prevalent. Somebody that just scares the defense. Levi Wallace had a INT pick six right in his hands, and you think about the turnover they've had at that position, it's been crazy. So I want the free agency period to set up best player in the draft, and I don't care whether it's
right.
offense or defense. And
I agree with you. I think that's the best way to approach it. You know what people always do, Mark, is they call up and they say, well, where are they going to go in the draft? My answer is, I don't know. Tell me who they sign as free agents first.
Yeah, it needs to do that. And I think the way this defense, I think you need to go to the strength of the draft and not reach. And it's like the strength is defensive line, and there's two high-end corners up there. One of fact is actually Tre'Davious White's cousin.
yeah, Williams, right, from LSU.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, he's a really good player. So, all right, Mark, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, Al.
Yeah, when people talk about the draft and they say, you know, where should the Bills go? They start already figuring out what they need. The draft isn't about need. It's about best available player. It just is. That's what you should take. The best available guy when you're picking. Unfortunately, this year, looks like the Bills need offense. The best available is going to be on defense. And I agree with Mark. You shouldn't reach then. Then either you trade down or you take the guy and you say, he's still a really good player and he's going to help us. Because needs do change and guys do get older and guys do get hurt and guys do get traded. Everything changes. So I would, if they're sitting there at number 6 or 7 or whatever, and the highest rated players are clearly on the defensive side, but they could take a wide receiver or a lineman who's rated maybe 20th, do not do that. And I don't think they would. I don't think that's smart drafting. But what you do is to counter that, what you do is to make sure that you don't in that you're not in that position is you sign the right free agents. So you supplement the draft with your free agent signings to start. And then you say, okay, now we can afford, we can attack offensive line. We can attack wide receiver in free agency. Get those shored up, and now you're feeling a lot better about taking that defensive lineman or corner in the draft if he's there for you. Let's go all the way out to Denver. That's where Rick is. Hi, Rick. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of things on Shady. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed about him this year, I coach running backs, and, you know, we talk about healing up in the hole, and he's done it way more often this year than he had in the past. And it's probably a lot to do with the offensive line situation. But the other thing that's happened, too, is his lateral movement, his ability to jump cut has diminished. He's not as quick as he used to be, not as explosive. And, you know, I still think he's, you know, a really good player, but we can't go into next season thinking he's our number one back. And then as far as Josh Allen is concerned, you know, right now you run man coverage, and he's probably thinking run before he's thinking pass. And, you know, having guys drop the ball, I mean, I think he's in a position where he's trying to do too much. And, you know, this criticism of Allen, you know, if we were to talk about statistics that he has right now over the last three games and show the game film and go after he came out of the draft and said, you know, this is what he's going to be, I think people would have been, I'll bomb in, 100% in. And yet it seems like every time he has a good game, you know, the bar keeps climbing higher. And it becomes more difficult for him to satisfy those that criticized him in the beginning of the year. So I'm happy he's our quarterback. I think he's going to be a really good one. And, you know, let's give him an offseason, give him some weapons. Let's see what he can do.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. No doubt about it. It's right to say, like, there's just people who have a vested interest in him either being really good or being bad as far as their opinions and holding firm and wanting to be right. That is true. And we've seen it, and it continues to happen. Open phone lines now. I got everything open. Call in. 803-0550, 888-552-550. What do you want to say about your Buffalo Bills? Got any comments? Got any questions? We can do that today here on the Extra Point Show. Every single Monday, I have a column, Sal Sticks, at WGR Sports Radio 550's website, WGR550.com. You can go there and you can check it out. Who was behind the sticks? Who was ahead of the sticks? I used to call it arrow up, arrow down. I know a lot of you missed that. I shouldn't have changed it. I did. Sorry, boss. I did. Maybe he'll let me go back to it next year. I doubt it now. He's like, why'd you change it? But now you got to stay with it. Yeah, I know. Should have just kept arrow up, arrow down. I just wanted something a little different because arrows, like, what's an arrow in football, right? But the sticks, Sal's sticks in football. So hopefully it's catchy for you. That's what I use now. So let's get to it now. We'll get to the behind the sticks. And then ahead of the sticks, and I'll tell you what I have here for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Behind the sticks, we'll start off, first of all, obviously, special teams. Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander said after the game, you don't notice special teams until they cost you. Well, they certainly cost the Bills in this one. The special teams units may have had their worst day of an already bad season overall. There were plenty of issues. A blocked field goal, another missed field goal, two huge kickoff returns against, and another that was eventually called back because of a penalty that cost a ton of field position and made it easy on the Jets to score 10 points. The Bills also had an illegal formation on another kickoff. It was an especially bad day for special teams. The illegal formation on a kickoff. Just can't happen. Shouldn't happen. Also behind the sticks, Josh Allen, his turnovers. He's been very good at protecting the football since returning from his injury a few weeks ago. Wasn't the case yesterday. He was directly responsible for a fumble and two interceptions. Now, the fumble and one pick were both due to him trying to do too much and being careless. The other interception was a poor decision or maybe a poor throw. Either way, you can slice it on the final drive. And they were trying to do something to get the ball down the field, obviously. Penalties were a big negative in this one. I mean, you knew it might be a rough day when the Bills were called for a chop block on the very first play of the game, wiping out a five-yard gain. And sure enough, they finished with seven flags for 47 yards against them. But it's the pre-snap penalties that are particularly troublesome. Three false starts against the offensive line in a home game is just unacceptable. Here's one that does not very much appear on this side of the ledger for me, but it is today. Cornerback Tre'Davious White. Now look, he's having an outstanding year. But this was his worst game of the season. Now, he appeared to be the cornerback responsible for Robbie Anderson when Darnold found him in the end zone after scrambling around. And I know, it's hard to cover guys that long. We know that. He was also beaten down the sideline by Anderson for a huge gain that set the Jets up at the Bills' five-yard line for their game-winning touchdown late. He was also called for a defensive holding in the red zone that gave the Jets a first down at the Bills' four-yard line. We also have third down defense. Now, the Jets came into this game last in the entire NFL in converting third downs at only 29%. But they moved the chains on 6 of 13 third downs against the Bills for 46%. They were last in the NFL at 29, and they had 46 against the Bills. Not good third down defense by the Bills. The running game outside of Josh Allen needs to be looked at once again. It's been a growing theme for the last few weeks. The Bills have pretty big numbers running the ball, but only really because of volume, because of Josh Allen scrambling and some designed runs. Against the Jets, outside of Allen, they ran 22 times for 75 yards, an average of only 3.4 yards per carry. That's outside of Josh Allen. Kicker Steven Hauschka had a field goal blocked, missed another field goal, and kicked off 6 times and failed to put any in the end zone, albeit 2 were squib kicks in the second half that Sean McDermott did say was basically how well the Jets were returning the ball, so that's what they had to do. Still, though, Hauschka was, and by the way, he was also injured right before halftime on the blocked kick, so all of that is noted. I want to make sure I know that, yes. But overall, Hauschka just did not have a very good game yesterday, with all that considered. Pass rush, we've talked about this. Not only did the Bills not have a single sack on Jets quarterbacks all day, they weren't even credited with one quarterback hurry. The Jets did a great job of protecting both their quarterbacks because McCown played for a series, and even when Bills defenders had a chance at Sam Darnold, he was able to get out of the way and make plays. The rush was virtually non-existent yesterday. Jets had 2 big fourth quarter drives. Big negatives for the Bills defense here. Bills were up 20-13 headed into the fourth quarter against a rookie quarterback at home. You got to close that game out. But they uncharacteristically gave up 2 long drives. One, an 11-play drive for 85 yards, and the other, 9 plays for 61 yards. The Jets scored touchdowns on both. They tied it, and then he eventually won the game on the 2 touchdowns. And then there's drop passes. Josh Allen was not pinpoint accurate all day, as pointed out, but he was still pretty good. And Bills pass catchers didn't help their young quarterback much. Several drops could have easily helped them sustain drives, including one by tight end Charles Clay and one by wide receiver Zay Jones. We'll get to our positives ahead of the sticks in a little while. Let's first go to Greg in Rochester. Hi, Greg. You're on WGR.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, you know, I like what I'm seeing Josh Allen go through, because I think that it's helping to shape and to mold him into, you know, the only way you can learn is by making mistakes. And I'm quite certain that he's making mental notes of things that he does and things that happen to make an effort to get better. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I hope the Bills don't win too much anymore, because I know you can always find a gem in the 17th round or the 17th pick overall. But the higher up the draft pick they have, the better. You know, and I don't know where they would address a need, a speedy receiver or something for defense. But, you know, I kind of like what I'm seeing, because he's going through a lot and he's learning.
Yeah, I got it. I appreciate that. And I don't disagree. Like, I think yesterday he went through a lot. Yesterday he learned a lot. It was really good for him. Really good in a lot of ways. But, you know, would have liked to have seen him make a couple more plays, not make a couple mistakes that he made. Those things are going to happen. I don't disagree overall, though, that I think what's happening now with him is beneficial for him going forward. Let's look at and start with Josh Allen and his legs as the positives. Ahead of the sticks, you can find this at WGR550.com, by the way. After finishing as the second leading rusher in the entire NFL last week, did you know that? He was the second leading rusher in all of the NFL last week. He was actually 5th in the league after games yesterday with 101 yards. I say that because there's still a game tonight, but right now he's 5th in the NFL through rushing and for rushing in week 14. 101 yards on 9 carries, an average of 11.2 yards per run. One of those was for a touchdown. He's now run for 335 yards over the past 3 weeks. That's an average of over 111 yards per game. He also now has, get this is incredible, the 3 highest rushing totals in a single game ever for a Bills quarterback. And that's done over the last 3 weeks. Josh Allen is also now the Bills' leading rusher for the season after LeSean McCoy went out of the game after the first series. He's got a total of 490 yards in 9 games played. Robert Foster deserves to be ahead of the sticks. He was responsible for 3 of the 7 longest plays of the day for the Bills. Catching passes that went for, I mistakenly said this earlier, I said that he had the 4 longest plays. He didn't. He had 3 of the 7 longest. Catching passes that went 38, 32, 21, and 18 yards. He also wasn't one of the ones who had trouble catching the ball. He hauled in 7 of his 8 targets, finished with 104 yards, went over the century mark in 2 of his last 4 games now, and has totaled 330 yards in that time. As poor as the Bills' defense was on third down, the offense was good. Allen especially good on third down. They converted half of their attempts, 7 for 14 on the day. That's really good. Run defense. Very good yesterday again. The Jets finished the game with only 78 yards on 28 carries. The average of only 2.8 yards per carry. The Bills have done a nice job against the run aside from, I think, 2 games this year. I liked Isaiah McKenzie's game yesterday. He continues to show why the Bills claim him off waivers and need his skill set on the field. He caught 4 passes for 47 yards, ran 4 times for 22 yards, including a touchdown. Then he collected 101 yards in kick returns and averaged 20 yards a return. He had 170 all-purpose yards yesterday, Isaiah McKenzie did. Linebacker Tremaine Edmonds had a really good day getting to the ball in all different ways. He finished with a game-high 8 tackles, including 1 for a loss, and also added 1 pass breakup and an interception. And oh, by the way, that interception, Tremaine Edmonds became the youngest player in NFL history at 20 years and 7 months to intercept a pass. There's your stat for you for today. I got another one on Josh Allen I'm going to give to you in a little while. And then there's Matt Darr. Okay, he punted once all day in the third quarter. That was it. But that one was a beauty, as high as any punt I've seen in a long time. And it, by the way, forced the Jets' Andre Roberts, who had a great game, to fair catch the ball at his own 15-yard line. Check out the column. It's WGR550.com. I have a really interesting stat, a telling stat on Josh Allen, something that I've been tracking on him that I want to get to in a little while. We'll take a timeout. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me here. Give me a call. We got open phone lines at 803-0550, 888-550-2550. You got about a half hour to get in. You're going to get in. If you call now, I'll get you in the next segment, all right? And then it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker, One Bills Live at the top of the hour.
This will be a 40-yarder. He's missed a 37-yarder earlier today.
He slipped.
He slips. The Raiders win it. Can you believe it?
Oh, my.
The Raiders are a winner. Let the celebration begin, baby.
Brett, I've never seen anything like this. What an exciting game.
Lots of interesting endings yesterday, right? Pretty crazy stuff that happened. That was the Raiders and the Steelers yesterday. And the Steelers, again, go to Oakland. It's been a house of horrors for them to go to Oakland and play the Raiders. Raiders go to their place. They go to Oakland. I mean, doesn't matter. Seems like they have a tough time. They lost another one. Yesterday, big time throw on 4th down. Nice play from Derek Carr to convert with about 20 seconds left. Then the Steelers go down, run a hook and ladder, and get to the 20-yard line, then miss the field goal because the kicker slips on the awful turf, and it is awful, at Oakland Alameda Coliseum. The Dolphins, of course, won on a last-second miracle lateral, 2 laterals, Kenyon Drake. And by the way, Rob Gronkowski looked like an old man chasing kids out of his yard when he was going after him. Sorry, but that's just true. Interesting stuff yesterday. Bob in Buffalo. What's going on, Bob? You're on WGR.
Hello there. Sal, I just wanted to talk a minute about the kicker. Hauschka is having a great year, and I know the last 2 games we've got a new punter who is also the new holder, and I'm not blaming him. But what I've noticed, you know, I was a college kicker many years ago, and kickers are creatures of habit. Everything, they try to keep everything the same steps, the same timing. What I've noticed, last year it happened once or twice, and this year it's happened in both games, is they have to get ready to kick quicker. Hauschka needs to settle after he measures his two steps back and then two or three to the side. He needs a good 4 or 5 seconds to get his mindset and relax. And what has happened on some of these misses, and even in fact a couple of those extra points that really were a little shaky, is they got to give him a little more time so that that holder, when he looks at Hauschka, and he's got to wait an extra few seconds until Hauschka is really relaxed and set, then turn and get the snap. Because what I've noticed is, because this is a new holder, he doesn't really know Hauschka that well.
Well, they've been working together for 2 weeks now. Look, I mean, Bob.
It's the timing when he...
I know that, and it can throw it off. And look, I don't mean...
I
can throw it off. But look, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say this at all. Please don't take this the wrong way. But these are professionals who know what they're doing. This is their livelihood, and they put the time in. And look, we can all say Josh Allen... Hold on, Bob. Hold on, Bob. We can all say Josh Allen should have thrown a ball, or he didn't have the laces out on a hold or something. But when you're talking about all these things, that this is why he's missing. I mean, this is why they have coaches. This is why he is at the pinnacle of his profession. So I kind of defer to those guys kind of knowing what they're doing.
But he made 26 in a row before this holder, and I'm not saying he's holding badly. I think the timing is off.
Right. And I do think that there could be something for that. And even
roll.
Even his wife did say that on Twitter, someone asked me if it matters, and I said, well, it's pretty routine. And then she said, yeah, but it's a wonder he's had the season he's had with the changeover. So I do understand that part. I'm referring to more of your earlier part of it about, you know, all the giving him time and stuff. They go through all of that. I think to me it would be more of where the ball is placed, maybe the angle, tilting it a little bit, things like that. But, you know, the timing of it, you know, they do these things every single day at practice. They go over these multiple times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I can understand that. I don't disagree. I'm just saying I think if they gave him another second or two to run.
Well, they're not going to snap it. As you know, Bob, they're not. Matt Dar, who's the holder, by the way, he's not going to snap it until Hauschka says, I'm ready. That's how it works.
Yeah. All right.
Right.
Just my point. I again, after a guy makes 26
yeah.
with two other holders and now has missed 3 out of 5 in the past 2 weeks.
I understand. And there's something to be concerned. And look, I'm not discounting your point about, again, like I said, no disrespect. I'm not discounting your point on the holder. I just think that, like, if there was an issue with timing, I mean, he knows when to snap the ball because Hauschka's telling him when to snap the ball, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So that's the only thing that I want. Thanks for the call. Like I said, not trying to disagree or be disrespectful to your knowledge of the position. I never kicked. I could punt the ball a little bit. I was never good at kicking field goals. Everybody tries it. I can't do it. Was never a soccer player. I think you need that soccer motion. I don't know. I can punt the ball pretty well. Got a pretty strong leg like that. But kicking field goals? Nah, never really been my thing. I had to kick off a couple times in a high school game because, you know, lots of guys just can't do it, and I was a good enough athlete to do it, but it was not as good as the regular kicker. And that's because, like, he got hurt or something. Didn't want to have to do it, but I did it, and it wasn't good. Let's go to Nick in North Tonawanda. Hi, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
To me, it looked like we were in the game in the beginning, and then our special teams came out there, and we gave up way too many yards. You know, as a blocked field goal, and then when we would punt, they would get multiple, you know, like 50 yards on the punts. And then towards the end of the game, it was we're getting the ball back for our last drive, and then they kick it to the 10-yard line, and then we only bring it up to the 20. So I don't know what's wrong with that.
Look, they had a lot of issues on special teams yesterday, no doubt about it, and it's just been a recurring theme, and they're going to have to figure out and fix what's been going on there, and I don't know how they're going to do it. If there's going to be, at the end of the year, if they need to make a coaching change, personnel changes, there's going to be new players on the team. That's going to certainly be different. But no doubt about it. JR in Atlanta. What's up, JR? JR, are you there? JR in Atlanta going once, going twice. We lost JR in Atlanta. Sorry. Call back if you have to, JR. Bill in Lockport. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, I'm calling about the non-penalties that were called, that weren't called. That one touchdown play with Robbie Anderson, just before he caught the ball, he basically straight-armed Tre'Davious White away just at the right time. If Tre'Davious would have been closer, he might have been able to knock him out of bounds, so the play wouldn't have been good. And I understand it. Like I say, it was an obvious push-off. Then the other play was the where Matt Milano got pulled down. Actually, you can see it right on TV that whoever was tackling, they had both hands on his shoulders grabbing his jersey.
I thought he was just getting blocked. I mean, he's getting blocked. You know, he might call hold, but it was nothing cheap. I mean, the injuries happen in football. I didn't think there was anything unruly about what happened to Matt Milano, to be quite honest.
It wasn't cheap, but it's just the idea that, to me, there should have been a penalty call with holding. He was right next to the runner. He was actually pulled down. You know, I could see him being pushed down, but
you know what bothered me? There was a play. I'll tell you. You want to talk about a play that bothered me? I got to look this up to make sure. There was a run by the Jets. They had a third down. Might even been fourth down. I think it was third down. And one of their offensive linemen was on the other side, like where the defenders would be pulling the runner forward. You can't pull him forward. You can push from behind. You can do that. You can aid the runner from behind. You can't pull him. You can't grab him and pull him forward towards the defense. And he was doing that. And that bothered me.
I saw that, too, and I wondered about it, because I know if you've seen a lot of plays, they're starting to do that more and more now. When a player is held upright, that motion, what his forward motion is, now they actually step it, just keep on pushing and dragging them. Then eventually they do, call the play over with. But I know I noticed that, too. It's like maybe the refs aren't really concentrated on the little things, but just that one thing with a stiff arm. I mean, like I say, can a defensive back push a receiver out of bounds as he's catching the ball, and that would be a non-catch, or what?
Say it again. So tell me again the play again. Real quick, describe it.
It's the one where Robbie Anderson gets the touchdown. It's like just before he caught it, he stiff-armed, he pushed away.
Well, you can't push off, obviously, no. And if he did that, then they missed it.
But thing is, the rules are now that if Tre'Davious White was closer, maybe he would have, as Robbie Anderson was catching the ball, tackled him and pushed, helped him push him out of bounds, even though he caught it inbounds. He never got his feet down properly.
Yeah, if you catch the ball and someone pushes you out before your 2 feet come down, that's fine. But obviously, you can't do it before the ball arrives. That's all.
Right, but I think that's one thing that Tre'Davious could have done. If he wasn't pushed off, he would have been closer.
I understand. I totally understand where you're going with that. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the call. I got to run. We're going to get right now to our focus on the next game, brought to you by Atwal Eye Care. Your vision, our focus. Next week, the Bills have another December home game, and this one is going to be against the Detroit Lions, who are having not a very good season of their own. 5-8 now on the year. They did beat the Arizona Cardinals yesterday, but Detroit comes into this one basically also playing out the string. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know what's funny? If you look at the conference, here's Detroit. Think about this. Detroit with their record, which is 5-8, if the Minnesota Vikings lose tonight to go to 6-6-1, Detroit's still only a game and a half out with 3 to play. I mean, it's still alive. Still alive more than most teams, some teams. So, we'll see what happens there. Also, our extra point from the sidelines is brought to you by Catholic Health. Quality care that keeps you in the game. That's the right way to care. My extra point from the sidelines is simply watching Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. Not just Josh Allen, but Sam Darnold. I'm so glad I got a chance to finally see it. After a few weeks ago, we didn't see that because he was hurt when the Bills played at the Jets. Sam's going to be pretty good. He can throw the ball well. The arm talent is there. I still think that Josh Allen does a lot of things better than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, I think, is going to be good in his own right and may wind up being better than Allen. We don't know, but that's going to be the fun part of watching this rivalry over the next several years. I think both teams got the guy they wanted, and both teams got guys that are going to be pretty good in this league. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. That is your extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health. Quality care that keeps you in the game. That's the right way to care. It's the Extra Point Show on WGR. We got to get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. We'll do all that here in just a moment. Let's go to, did JR call back? Is this JR? JR in Atlanta, you were there?
Yeah, Sal, good to talk with you.
You too. Thanks for calling back.
Take a peek at Tremaine. I think he doesn't use his length properly. He lets a lot of offensive men get into his chest more than somebody of his size and stature should, and maybe that's a learning thing.
I don't disagree with you. I've noticed it since early in the year. I think he's better at it now, though, but I think, JR, it's more, he's 20 years old, and when he was in college, those things didn't hurt him, you know what I mean?
Correct. Correct. And then secondly, he's got to make that play at the goal line. He was right there, and that's a signature play for him as a middle linebacker. That's a play he has to make. And then second, thirdly, the touchdown pass, he's got to get his hands up in the end zone to number 11. I can't think of his name, but he was right there, and he kind of at the end made a little fake attack at Darnold. But he gets his hands up, he knocks that pass down, and perhaps even – pulls off an interception with it. But I like the way he's playing, and let's see what happens down the road.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you calling back and appreciate your thoughts on Tremaine. And good thoughts there. That's a good observation. I've said that since the beginning of the year, that he lets guys get into him a little bit too much. He doesn't use his length properly, and he has to at this level because in college he was so strong, I don't think he had to use his length. When he did, he was even better. But I've seen that too from Tremaine. Excuse me, had to cough there for a second. We have these cough buttons. You don't even notice, see? So I just could cough right there. So that's what just happened there. And we're going to get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, as we wrap up the show. But I want to remind you, coming up at noon, it will be One Bills Live. It's John Murphy and Steve Tasker. And then it's going to be Sean McDermott at 4 o'clock during Shope and the Bulldog from One Bills Drive talking to the media. They'll have Kyle Williams on at 4:30. And then at 5 o'clock, Sean McDermott is on live with Shope and the Bulldog. All right, who are we going to sit up for? In fact, I'll tell you this. Jonathan said that Jonathan Simon is producing right now. He said, boy, is Amari Cooper really good or what? He's my sit-up guy. You got to sit up for this guy, right, John? I mean, he is having an outstanding campaign since going over to the Cowboys. Another great game last night.
Yeah, and it was funny because a lot of people were questioning whether that first-round pick that Dallas gave up was worth it for Cooper, and so far he's been absolutely worth it. They're in a playoff spot now, and it looks like they're going to make the postseason. And I think I told you off-air a few minutes ago, I think it was after his first three games, he had more touchdown catches and I think 11 less yards than the entire Dallas receiving core.
Amazing. Last 3 weeks, 8 for 180, 8 for 76, 10 for 217 last night. Amari Cooper, sit up for him and start paying attention to what he's doing for the Dallas Cowboys. That is really nice there. And yeah, it looks like Jerry might have made the right call here, giving up the first-round pick for Amari Cooper. We'll see. We're going to sit up for Amari Cooper in the year that he's having and what he's doing for Dak Prescott, by the way. Dak is looking pretty good because of Amari. Let's stand down on the Pittsburgh Steelers and where they may go this year after their latest loss. And in fact, I believe they've now lost three in a row, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers, because they were rolling along for quite a while there. And not three in a row. I'm sorry. Am I looking at Pittsburgh here? Oh, I just grabbed the wrong one. Yep, let me get to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I grabbed the Philadelphia Eagles schedule. They're close to each other. Yep, three in a row after winning six in a row. In those games, they've given up 24, 33, 24 points. Their defense just isn't good enough when their offense isn't completely on. And yesterday against the Oakland Raiders, only 21 points for the offense. They give up a score late, and then they get down. They have the field goal miss. And right now, the reason why I want to stand down on them is you take a look at the conference standings. This is not a great road team, and they are in the fourth spot. They're not going to probably get a home game. And even if they do, I mean, they're a game and a half out of getting they're going to get a home wild card game maybe against the Chargers, but that's going to be tough. And the Chargers are probably going to finish with the fifth seed, and they've already beaten Pittsburgh there. All I'm saying is I think Pittsburgh's in a tough spot here going forward, and I think we need to stand down. All right, my buddy this week, I'm going to do it. You know what? I'm a Syracuse guy, and they're the best thing about my weekend in sports.
Mosley is on him. 4 seconds. Got it! That's big-time stuff right there, my friend.
Oh, I've seen this movie before. Tyus Battle has a penchant for knocking down big shots, gets the defense sliding to his right, and he has the ability to stop on a dime and elevate. Little screen here. Got Jagan Mosley, number 4 in black, a little off balance.
Yeah, let me have this one, okay? Let me have Tyus Battle because that was the best part about my sports weekend after the Sabres lost, after the Bills lost, seeing what happened, what went down, and now Syracuse 5 in a row. But here's why. They beat Georgetown. Anytime you beat Georgetown, it's good. And especially in that type of dramatic fashion at the Carrier Dome, Tyus Battle's a good player. So he's my buddy this week. Hey, buddy, Tyus Battle, thanks a lot for that game-winning shot against Georgetown. John Murphy, Steve Tasker up next, One Bills Live.